Oh, yeah. They were big days, all of them. The grads, the ordinations, and the first masses, and the high mass, and all the rest of it. Nothing to compare with the ordinations at Woodstock then. That was something in a lifetime.
But having the firstborn ordained was a big thing.
Oh, of course, the first one was very big. Of course, Eleanor was the only one at the time that was a nun. Cathy Billman's mother, you know. When we were up at Essex before the boys left, that was her remark. She was flying out to California to see them out there, see the boys sail, because she felt she wouldn't be alive to see them when they'd come back. And she wasn't either. But as she said, you will see your boys again, I won't.
Mrs. Horgan said that too.
Mrs. Horgan said it down at Woodstock when the boys were leaving for the Philippines.
Yet she was happy to see him go, in a way.
Yes and no. She felt very sad about it. But of course she wasn't doing anything to try to stop him.
Mrs. Martin and Baltimore, the other wing, was very, very human, I guess, when she said, started talking about her boy coming back. She said she'd give anything in the world just to see him again. He's an only son.
Yeah. Well, all those things, I think, like Eleanor going away. We were all the way out to Westchester before I realized that Eleanor was going into the convent and that she wouldn't be coming back with us. And when we got out there, the nuns seemed to sense something of the same thing. And they took her in and put the postulant outfit on her, sent her out and said, say goodbye to your mother. It was all done within about 10 minutes. Before we knew it, we were out again. But I think all those things are done by the grace of God.
Sure.
You don't think of it until it's all over. And it's happened almost the same way with every one of them. Rosemary, the last time, we went out in the yard to go into the garage to get the car, and she turns around to her father in front of me, and she says, may I drive, Daddy? I had never driven with her. And she just looked at me. I didn't say a word. I didn't dare say a word. And her father said, sure, you can drive. Well, she drove us down to that convent, but I'm pretty sure that everybody in that car was just thinking, oh, if we only get there in whole instead of in pieces. Nobody was concerned with Rosemary going to the convent. They were all concerned with her getting us out to the convent safe.
Well, the same with me getting to the Philippines, the train.
Yes.
Getting the tickets mixed up.
Yes, remember that.
Pop saying, put a sign around that man saying he's going to Manila.
The bag all locked up.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the tickets out. I can still see you on the back of that train with your hat off, waving goodbye to us.
Yeah, well, I didn't know then whether that wouldn't be the end.
Or no, nobody knew.
Came close enough to it.
Yes.
Well, Frank's farewell to the Philippines the first time was like that too, I guess, was it? Was it from North Philly?
Frank? No, Frank went from 30th Street. Because Frank went out to Buffalo and then to the other oblate stations that he visited on the way out until he got out someplace, Chicago. And then he flew from there to Denver.
Well, do you remember any of the details of his leaving the first time?
Oh, yes, we were all on the platform with Frank when he was leaving. And of course, he was trying to be very jolly and cheerful, you know, and everybody was putting on a great act of being very jolly and all the rest of it. And the train came in, and he got in and got his sleeper number and got all settled, and we said goodbye to him. We all knelt down, and he gave us his blessing on the platform, and then we just kissed him goodbye, and he hopped in the train, and the train went on out. We were done. But he told me afterwards that there never was a sadder boy for that night than he was. He didn't think he was going to feel it. But as soon as that train started out and he knew we were all left, and he just dug his head into the pillow for the rest of the night to try to stop his sobs and his wailing. But he didn't think it was in him, but it was in him. And he felt it very badly.
Dad had nothing special to say.
No. We had nothing special to say at all. It was a matter of each one patting the other on the back and trying to keep up the idea of, well, just be yourself and forget about it and be jolly let it get by. And that's about all it was.
Well, with my leaving, you were on the way to Sea Isle, so it was a help there.
Yeah, but we had Father Boldick and...
Yeah. And Moncho.
And, Boldick that came to dinner before you left. And then we all went up to the train with you, and then, of course, when you went to get in the train and the conductor wouldn't let you in, well, that was the high point of that, because you had to come back and open up your bags, and Pop was razzing you all the time.
Well, you were on the way to the shore, too, after leaving the station.
Yeah.
So that helped to change.
Yeah, Eleanor. No, except that, as I tell you, we were late, and Sister St. Gertrude called up and wanted to know what was the matter. And I said, oh, we're all ready to go. There's two or three automobiles. We don't have to be in there till 6 o'clock. And Sister said, why, everybody else is in now. So, automobiles, and we started out. And picked up Sister St. Gertrude and went on out. And as I say, when she went out the door and the other girls were here with her, they were singing songs and laughing and going on, and they sang all the way out. I never realized that Eleanor was leaving, that she wouldn't be coming back until we were almost out there. And then we got out of the cars and went into the novitiate, and the nuns, of course, she was late, everybody else was in. So the nuns just took her in, changed her dress, brought her back, and said, kiss your mother goodbye, and that was all.
Oh, I mean about her leaving for the missions.
Oh, no. No, except that I lost my bag. I had a grip with $200, and it belonged to Frank.
Or somebody's sister.
Yeah, there were about 50 nuns there, and somebody just came along and picked it up. Probably had been watching. The man told me in the station that there had a number of men that came into the station in uniform and had done that sort of thing and picked up my bag and walked off with it. And I never got it back. Never got any. And all Joe's papers from the Navy were in it. They could easily have identified it.
The searching for that sort of took your mind off.
Oh, yeah. And then I was getting the train for Sea Isle at 6 o'clock, you know. And I had to go on down to Sea Isle without my bag.
That was a blessing in a way.